Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll stick with us and join in the conversation. Our telephone lines are open. You can give us a call. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call. Toll free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the program here this afternoon. Let's go ahead and open our program with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you so much again for the opportunity. Thank you for the medium that's been made available to us to be able to reach out through the radio, to be a blessing, to be encouragement to people, to point people to Christ. We just pray that you'd use the program today for your glory. We just thank you again for all these things that you do for us and your precious gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, where it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it's good to be with you today, and I was going to touch on a couple of things here this afternoon. Reading a book recently, and they were addressing the question of truth. And I thought, well, we start out the program here today, I would start out with that here. But of course, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we would love to hear from you here. You can give us a call, as I said, toll free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And you can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and you can find out more about me, more about the program. You can also find out and connect to the website for our church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor. And you can also link to our Facebook page there, or you can just go straight to Facebook for Live with Pastor Al on our Facebook page, and you can follow us there, like the page. I try to put in different articles and things like that from time to time that don't always make it onto the web page because it's a lot easier sometimes, and plus some of them, you know, they're just sort of temporary things that are just kind of hitting at that particular time. But again, you can find all that, and if you just remember livewithpastoral.com, you can link to all that right there. But I wanted to touch on, like I said, this subject of truth, and it's a question that's been around for a long time. It certainly predates our program, that's for sure. You can see it all the way back in Jesus' day in the Gospel of John in verse number 18, where Pilate and Jesus are talking, and they're going back and forth in John chapter 18 and verse 38. It says, Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? And there's this question of truth here. And it's kind of interesting because Pilate and Jesus talking back and forth here about why Jesus was there. And in fact, if you go back to verse 33, where Pilate says to Jesus, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus answers in verse 34, saying, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it of thee? And then Pilate, of course, responds, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? And Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. And this is the point where Pilate then in verse 38 says unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto him, or unto them, I find in him no fault at all. And it's kind of ironic here in this discussion of truth here is where Pilate ends his conversation here with Jesus, going back and forth about why he was brought before him to be crucified and what has he done and who is he and all these things that they're talking about. And do you admit to being a king? And Jesus going back and forth. And when Jesus talks about the truth, that for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And then Pilate asks the question, what is truth? And releases him, and he makes a true statement. I find in him no fault at all. And the statement that Pilate made there is true. I mean, he didn't find any fault in him. He wanted to release him. And, of course, that's one of the things that, of course, proves that Jesus was the Messiah, because it was prophesied that when Messiah would be cut off by the prophet Daniel, not cut off by Daniel, but the prophecy was made by Daniel as God spoke to him in Daniel chapter 9. It said that the Messiah would be cut off. In verse 26, after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. And then he says this, but not for himself, because there was no fault in him. Jesus had no fault in him. Jesus was without sin. Jesus was without sin because he was God in the flesh, God manifest in the flesh, as Paul wrote to Timothy, the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh. As John wrote in the Gospel of John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then down toward the end of the chapter, or later in the same chapter, it says that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. And there was no fault in him. And so what Pilate said was a true statement. Even while questioning what is truth, he makes this true statement. And we'll look a little bit more about some of the things the Bible says about truth here. But we need to understand that there is such a thing as absolute truth, some things that are absolutely true. Now, there's people out there who frequently say, well, there's no such thing as an absolute. Well, they just made an absolute statement. If there's no such thing as an absolute, then their statement, there's no such thing as absolutes, is a statement that's not true. It's a statement that is devoid of sense. And the technical term for that actually is, since it has no sense, it's nonsense, because it's nonsensical, it's devoid of sense. And so a statement such as, there is no such thing as, or are no such thing as absolutes, that is a nonsensical statement. In other words, it's full of nonsense. There's no truth in that statement. And so there are such things as absolute truth. And we need to be able to find what absolute truth is. I mentioned on the program before, I know we've talked about it at our church, about how C.S. Lewis had popularized the statement that Jesus is either liar, lunatic, or Lord. And of course, that is a statement that had been originated, I think, as far back as the 1700s, perhaps. But C.S. Lewis popularized it in the mid 20th century. And basically, if you're not familiar with it, and if you are, by way of review, the statement that Jesus is either liar, lunatic, or Lord is, if Jesus is not God manifest in the flesh, if he's not the Lord, then he claims that he is, and he knows that he's not, then he would be a liar. If he's not God in the flesh, if he's not truly the Lord, and he claims that he is and thinks that he is, then he would be a lunatic. Or then the other option is, if Jesus really is the Lord and he claims that he is, then he's telling the truth and he is the Lord. So he's either liar, lunatic, or Lord. He can't be a good person who went around saying that he was God in the flesh because that would make him a liar. And lying is of the devil. God is not a man that he cannot lie, or that he can lie. God does not lie. The devil is the author of lies. But looking at this this idea of truth, there's several important verses here that I wanted to look at. And one of these verses is in John chapter 17. In verse 17, Jesus says this, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." And so he's saying here that the word of God is truth. So if the Bible says that Jesus is God in the flesh, and it's true, then he must be God in the flesh. And the Bible indeed equates Jesus Christ as God. In him all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And so we see other evidence there over in Hebrews where the Jehovah's Witnesses like to go sometimes. In fact, just thinking about this, let me turn over there in Hebrews chapter number 1. The Bible plainly calls Jesus Christ God. I was thinking about this because Jehovah's Witnesses do not believe that Jesus is God. If you've ever had the Jehovah's Witnesses knock on your door, they believe that Jesus is Michael the Archangel, that he was created by God, and that God used him in order to create the heavens and the earth. Of course, there's a passage in Isaiah that denies that because it says that the Lord, meaning Jehovah, created the heavens by himself, the earth by himself, and stretched out the heavens by himself, meaning he had no help. He did it by himself. And if I built a house and I hired somebody to do it for me, I could say I built my house, but I couldn't say I did it by myself because I came up with the plan and I funded it, but I had somebody carry out my wishes. So I couldn't say I did it by myself. But God could say he did it by himself because Jesus is God. And here in Hebrews chapter 1, it's kind of interesting. It's talking about God and it's talking about Jesus. And it says, in starting out in Hebrews chapter 1, in verse 1, "God, who at sundry times in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds." And talks about that there, the creation through the Son, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down the right hand of majesty on high. And so Jesus by himself purged our sins. Wait a minute. You'd have to have God involved in this, wouldn't you? Yeah, because Jesus is God. And this is being made so much better than the angels. He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So Son here is the incarnation of God in the flesh, and it's talking about the resurrection when he became the first begotten of the dead, the first born of the resurrection. And then it says this in verse 5, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 5, "For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee?" Well, that right there tells you it's not Michael the Archangel. Because Michael the Archangel has never had this said of him, so the Jehovah's Witnesses are plainly wrong. And then he says this in verse 6, "And again, when he bringeth the first begotten into the world," and I don't have time to go to the verses, but first begotten, if you go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, in that range there, Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 or so, you see what first begotten's talking about, and amongst other places, first begotten of the dead, then the resurrection, first in the resurrection. And then he says this at the end of verse 6, "And let all the angels of God worship him." Worship who? Worship the Son. God says to the angels, worship the Son. And then he says this, "And the angels," he saith, "who make the spirits angels, spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God." Did you catch this? God is saying to Jesus, the Son, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom." So in this short chapter here, God says that Jesus is God. He says the angels are to worship him, says he's not an angel, a created being such as Michael the archangel, and he's to be worshiped by the angels, and that he is God who has a scepter of righteousness, and his throne is forever and ever. And he goes on to say about him in verse 9, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. And it goes on to talk about this. But what I'm getting at is God calls Jesus God, calls him Lord, and then even refers to God being the God of Jesus, because God the Father and God the Son, it's their relationship there, and of course they are God. And so Jesus' word is the truth, John 17:19. John 17:17, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. There's where I'm at. In John 16:13, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is a spirit of truth. Verse 13 here, John 16, verse 13, howbeit when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. That's talking about the Holy Spirit. And it calls him that again in John chapter 15, verse 26, the Spirit of truth. He's called that there. In John 14, kind of working backwards through this, John 14:17, even when the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, talks about him as the Spirit of truth there again. And then Jesus in John chapter 14, verse 6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father, unto the Father, but by me. Jesus is the truth. The Holy Spirit is the truth. God is true. The Word of God is true. Jesus is God. The Spirit is God. The Father is God. And these three are one, as the Bible says. That's the fullness of the Godhead. Well, we'll talk about some more things, but I've got a caller calling in, and we've got Nancy calling in here this afternoon. And Nancy, welcome to the program today.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al, and what a beautiful day it is. I just wanted to ask you for your advice, or from the, which I know you'll give your answer from the Bible, because I don't know if your church is involved with putting together John Roman's book, headed up by Cleveland Baptist, and then our plan is to hand them out, 15,000 of them, at the Republican National Convention, July 18th to 21st. But I hear all this talk about these potentially violent groups funded by George Soros and the Westboro Baptist Church and Black Lives Matter, and just people that want to commit crimes. They're using this as an excuse to go to an event like this.
Yeah.
Do you think it's safe? I mean, I've seen some videos.
Yeah.
Do you think it is safe to go down there?
Yeah, let me address a couple things. And speaking of the mobs, and you know they're going to be there, you know it's not a new thing. Do you know that what they're doing is in Acts chapter 17? And in fact, I preached on it at our church a couple of weeks ago. In Acts chapter 17, let me read you this verse here. It says in verse number 5, but the Jews which believe not, moved with envy. I'm not saying this is necessarily a connection to both George Soros and Bernie Sanders, who are Jews which believe not. But it says, when the Jews which believe not, moved with envy, notice what it says here, Acts 17, verse 5, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them, referring to Paul and Silas, out to the people. And, you know, here's a rent-a-mob right here in Acts chapter 17, verse 5. And this is a good account, though, when you look at this, because it says when they went to the house of Jason looking for Paul and Silas, it says in verse 6, and when they found them not, God protected them and sent them, you know, along their way so that they would not get torn up by the mob. And you're asking about the idea of being safe going to distribute John and Romans and different things during the Republican National Convention in July. I think it's an excellent plan to go. You know, the hotel, our church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. We meet in the Holiday Inn Express in Richfield, and we're a hotel that's designated for some of the people who are going to be delegates to the convention, and we already listed our church as a church that's, you know, welcoming to them. Some churches won't be, but this idea of going during the convention into places where you can pass out John and Romans, you have to remember the Bible says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And think of all of the missionaries that have gone into very dangerous places of the world in times past in order to preach the gospel. Think of Paul and Silas here in Acts chapter 17, where they went into places, and sometimes they were thrown in jail, sometimes they were beaten, but God used them and preserved them, and they accomplished a great deal. So, excuse me, there was a missionary I heard one time, and I think I was in Wadsworth, Ohio, where he was speaking, and he was sharing his testimony. He was working in Beirut, Lebanon in the 1980s. Now, if anybody remembers much about Lebanon in the 1980s, especially Beirut, the Lebanese civil war going on, there were snipers everywhere. People were being kidnapped all the time. People were being taken captive and tortured and killed, and it was a horrific time. I was in the Air Force at the time, and we would read stories of things that happened to people in Lebanon. I can remember thinking, oh, boy, I'm glad I'm not there. And yet, this missionary, I wish I could remember his name, he was an independent Baptist missionary, and he was working in Lebanon at that time. And he was giving his testimony, and this lady asked him, she said, don't you feel unsafe there? Don't you worry? And he said, ma'am, he says, I feel safer in Beirut, Lebanon, in the center of God's will, than I would feel walking in Akron or Cleveland, Ohio, out of God's will. And that's always stuck with me. You had asked about, you know, going there, would it be safe? Obviously, we should take prudent precaution going there. You would not want to go alone into some of these groups because, or where some of these protest groups are going to be, because some of them are just looking to cause problems, looking to assault people. We know those people are going to be there. And so, you know, the old adage, there's safety in numbers. But at the same time, if you know that you're doing what God wants you to do and you're where God wants you to be, you know, you have to trust God to keep you safe, to take care of you, that the word of God can go forth and that you can be a witness and a testimony for him. So.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you, Pastor Al. That certainly provides a lot of insight. I guess maybe I'm just not as brave as I should be.
Well, and
but, you know, it's just, when you see some of these videos of how they've just really attacked the even the, when they're with friends, or you know, they just come out and I mean, I've heard that they want to burn down Cleveland, and and the fact that there's so much time between now and when the convention is, I think that George Soros is really revving up and probably hiring a whole lot of protesters, and he wants them to be violent. He wants them to disrupt the convention. He wants them to stop the convention. He wants to cause so much turmoil. And I think they'll do that by being violent. So I'm just wondering if it's really using wisdom. You know, James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, ask of God. But I think you're giving me the wise answer here.
Yeah, so and
I guess maybe,
you know,
I just need to be more courageous.
Yeah, and not everybody needs to go into the belly of the beast, so to speak. You know, that some people can be in other areas where it's going to be a little different because, you know, there's going to be a lot of people from around the world. I encouraged somebody a few weeks ago that routinely passes out tracts in the Cleveland area that they ought to stock up on some various foreign language tracts because the world's media is going to be there. And so there's a lot of people that are coming to Cleveland. The world is coming to Cleveland next month, and we have a tremendous opportunity laid out before us to be a witness. You know, the Bible says go into all the world and preach the gospel. It's not often that all the world comes to us, and
good
so
point.
I would encourage you and your friends and others that are listening, you know, if you have the opportunity, take advantage. A number of churches, like you said, Cleveland Baptist Church and I'm sure Euclid Bible Baptist Temple going to be involved. We'll be talking about this more, but we're out of time right now. Thanks for the call. Join us again next time.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452 Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.